Man, you may be seated. Good morning, everybody. Hey, I'll tell you what, man. The youth are in charge today, okay? So, you know, I don't know. One of Nico, if something goes wrong, it's all on you, man. So, no. Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hey, it's super good to be here. It's good to see the youth serve. They're doing, they help set up. They help, obviously, lead worship and greet and everything. And so, can we give them a hand, man? I'm so glad for them. That's good. Yeah, I look forward to hanging out here in just a little bit where we get to eat and connect. But it's good to be here today to open God's Word and to worship together. Let's dive into the Word this morning, church. As a church, we're walking through and studying verse by verse through 2 Timothy. And this letter is written by a man named Paul. God uses Paul to write this letter to Timothy, who is a pastor in the church in a place called Ephesus. And so Paul is writing to Timothy as a pastor, but this letter was also written or read to the church. And so this is for all Christ followers. And when Paul writes this, he's sitting in a place called the Mamertine Prison. You know, it's interesting, whenever Jessica and I go on a trip, she always jumps on one of the travel sites to make sure that the hotel that we're going to stay in is good, right? It's a good 4 or 5 star hotel or 2 or 3, whatever we stay in. Paul did that with prisons, right? I mean, he went into towns and like, man, I could write the review on prisons. He spent a lot of time in prison, but the Mamertine prison was different. He had been given his orders or his judgment to be executed. And so this is his last writing. Paul was arrested for being a Christian, for preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus. This was a challenging time for all Christians. There was an emperor by the name of Nero that led the charge and the persecution against Christ followers and the church. So it was a troubling time for Christians. And Paul, in his last written words, anybody have been with someone in their last minutes, their last days, and you want to hear what they have to say, right? I mean, their last words are important. He's writing his last words to encourage Timothy and to encourage Christians in the church. And the theme that he's writing about is be strong, endure in your walk with Jesus. And he talks to us about how we are to live until the day Jesus comes or until we go to be with Jesus. This week, we find ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead and open your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you need a Bible, we've got some back there for you. Please grab one of those. But here, Paul is going to lay out for us how we as Christians are to remain strong and to remain healthy in our walk with Jesus. Last week in verse 1 through 9, Paul tells us, hey, church, if you want to remain strong, if you want to be healthy in your walk with the Lord, then you must refrain from these things. And so Paul lays out for us 18 or 19 sins, and we got through it, church, right? We did. We walked through every single one of them, sins and things in our life, examples that we are to avoid. He says, avoid sins and attitudes like being lovers of self and lovers of money and being arrogant and ungrateful and malicious gossips. Refrain from being lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I said this last week, but when I read this chapter, I feel like I'm going to the doctor where you have that checklist, right? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Right? And you go through all of those things. But when you go to the annual visit, my doctor will say, hey, for you to be strong and healthy, Jeff, you need to avoid these things. Right? Avoid eating these things. Avoid being lazy. You're right? Are you with me, church? But then they also say, these are the things you should do. Right? Walk this much. Exercise. Drink water. Eat healthy. And I feel like that's what Paul is doing here. So in the first 9 verses, he said, hey, to be healthy, avoid these unhealthy sins. And then today, he's saying, hey, to be strong and healthy, do these things. Right? Live these things out as you follow Jesus. And so we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 10 and read through chapter 4, verse 4. Church, to honor God and his word, would you guys stand with me as we read this passage together? 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. God's word says this, but you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scripture, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man, it's talking man or woman, the person of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Chapter 4, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. God, we come before you today ready to hear from you. I pray, God, that all of us, whether we're here in person and we've got people online as well, God, I pray, Lord, that our minds would not be distracted, that our hearts would be ready to hear from you. God, as we walk through this passage, every time we open up the Word of God, we should respond. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that we would respond today. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, today would be the day that they would be saved and adopted into your family. So, God, we give you our time today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As we walk through this passage, we're going to see four things that we need to do to be strong and to be healthy in our Christian walk. And Paul begins in verse 10 by saying, he said, but you, he's talking to Timothy, you have followed my teaching and my conduct, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and endurance. So last week, in the verses leading up to this, one of the things Paul says was that we're to avoid following ungodly examples. Right, all we have to do is open our eyes, and we've got plenty of ungodly examples. Paul was talking about those that pretended to be religious, but they were really, right, immoral. The Bible's not telling us that we necessarily need to avoid those people. We need to be in the world, church. Are you with me? We need to be with those, but we need to avoid following their lead and following their example and being influenced by them. And so now he's going to tell us, avoid those, but here's the kind of example you should follow. And so in the first two verses, he gives us our first takeaway. He says, don't follow the sinful examples, Christians, but follow godly examples who point you to Jesus. If you got your bulletin on the back of there, we've got some notes for you to fill out if that will help you. But follow, Christians, follow godly examples. If you want to be healthy, if you want to have a strong walk with Jesus, follow godly examples who point you to Jesus. Paul is reminding us here. And we need, all of us need to hear this. All of us are being influenced by someone. So Paul's saying, be influenced by me when I follow Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul tells the church there, he says, hey, because they're learning how to walk with Jesus. He says, you imitate me as I also imitate Christ. It's important to know what Paul's saying here. He says, imitate me and follow my example when I am imitating Christ. Because here's the important thing to know. Even godly examples have sin in their life, right? We all have sin in our life. And so Paul says, when I'm following Jesus, follow that example. I want to press in real quick on really the church. And a lot of it's in America. We've got this idea where it's okay to be a Christian and not be a part of the family of God. That's not God's design. That's sinful, church, right? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, do not forsake the assembling of gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. We need each other. And so part of this is where Paul is saying, hey, you were never meant to do this on your own. You weren't meant to do the Christian life on your own. You need godly people in your life who can encourage you, and then also those who can set an example for you. I don't think it matters how old we are or how long we've been saved. I think we should always pursue mentorship in our life. I remember my pastor growing up. He was around 50 years old, and I went and met with him one day so he could disciple me. And he was just in tears because he said, man, I have been searching and praying for someone to pour into me. And this is a guy that has been saved since he was little and been in ministry since he's about 18 years old. And he was just torn up because he couldn't find someone to pour into him. But we need to have someone that not only can encourage us and walk through life, but set a godly example for us. And Paul talks about that, a godly example, the example that he lives out for Timothy. He said, Timothy, you followed my teaching, my conduct, and my purpose. Timothy was able to see Paul live for the Lord on a daily basis. Timothy said, hey, Paul, come with me, do life with me, do ministry with me. And Paul was able to live his life out in front of Timothy. He said, Tim, you've seen me in the Word of God. You've seen me in the Word. You've seen me studying it and learning it. You've heard me teach from God's Word. He said, you've seen my conduct. You've seen me live out what the Bible says. It's right. It's challenging if you hear someone say, hey, there's what the Bible says, and then they don't live it out. Right? It's like, you don't really believe that. Right? So Paul lived it out, and he taught it. He lived it out. He was the example. He said, you've seen my conduct. You've seen how I've lived, how I've loved, how I've acted, how I've treated people. He said, you've seen me not just to talk the talk, but walk the walk. And then he says this. He says, Timothy, you've seen my purpose. I think when we have a leader that has a purpose, it's easier to follow them. When you look at Paul's life, you could see what and who he was living for. I just want us to look at two places for that real quick. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he actually says this. He says, my purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Part of his purpose in life was to finish the course, to finish well, to finish the ministry, to pursue it. Sometimes we can give up, right? It gets hard, right? People aren't responding. But Paul says, man, I'm after it. I'm going to continue in that. And he's also about finishing his life and telling people about the gospel. One of the most challenging for me when I read his purpose in life comes out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where he says this. He says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, he says this. He says, my purpose is to live my life for Jesus, while he looks forward to being with Jesus. That's his purpose. And Timothy got to witness that. And then he goes on in verse 10. Timothy, you've followed, you've seen the example in my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, but also my faith, patience, love, and endurance. If you're not familiar with those four things, they're all part of what we call the fruit, or the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, meaning this, when we follow the Spirit, when we are filled up and led by the Holy Spirit of God, these are the things that come out of our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Church, you want to know if you're being filled up by God? Those things will be obvious in our life. That's the fruit that will be coming out of us. In other words, Paul is saying, the Holy Spirit, God, fills my life and leads my life. In Ephesians, the Bible says, Paul's writing to the church, he says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. Here's what he's saying. Don't let anything else fill and lead your life. Whatever fills you is going to lead you. He says, don't be led by anything else except the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is living out. Paul said a whole lot of things, but don't miss the bottom line. Paul is saying, avoid ungodly examples in your life, but follow godly examples. Follow my example while I follow Jesus. He continues in verse 11. He's still talking about following his example. He said, you followed me in all these things. And then he said, along with the persecution and the sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. Church, when we look at Paul's life, we see that his purpose, his mission, his aim was to live for Christ and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And because he did that, because that was his aim in life, he faced persecution. He faced suffering. And when he did that, that was evidence of how serious he was about Jesus. Not that long ago, unfortunately, we witnessed Christians on TV, and then they took them off, which was a wise thing, but where terrorists were taking Christians and saying, denounce Christ or die. And they didn't do it, did they? They ended their life was gone. They gave their life because Jesus was worth it, church. right? We've all known or heard of missionaries that go overseas, they give up everything and end up being in prison, or they're beaten, or they lose their life because they want to tell other people about Jesus. Paul is saying, like, you've seen me go through this. It's the real deal. Like, I'm after Jesus. Again, for him to follow Jesus and to tell others about Jesus, it was worth facing persecution and suffering. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. Sometimes if someone doesn't like our Facebook post that's about, you know, Christianity, we're like, oh man, I'm being persecuted. I'm going to be honest with you, church. Most of us don't know what persecution is here in the United States. When we read the New Testament, by the way, where we live right now, there's more persecution happening against Christians than any other time in the history of the world. But what we read in the New Testament, we see that Paul endured things like severe affliction, hardship, distress, beatings, imprisonments, riots, and hunger. So not only did he suffer so that others could know Jesus, but not long after he writes this letter, he would give his life for Jesus. Paul's telling us this, church. If you want to have a strong and healthy walk with the Lord, follow the example of someone who walks the walk, who lives for Jesus. Are you with me, church? There's a lot of people that say a lot, but what does their life tell? We follow people who are living godly lives and point us to Jesus. And then we looked at verse 12. Paul says this, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The first part of that, really the first so many verses, is an invitation, church. To live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, to follow Paul's example. When he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, he's inviting us to also be Christ followers, right? To live for Jesus. And so number two is this, you can't just see someone godly example. You've got to live a godly life and be the example pointing others to Jesus. Are you with me, church? Right? Sometimes we're just like, man, that dude's a godly dude or that girl's a godly girl. And we just look at them and say, man, I wish I could be like them. No, we've got to live the godly life. We need to live a life that points others to Jesus. As we learn and grow, our responsibility is to live that out. Whatever we're learning, God calls us, church, to grow and mature. He calls us to live lives that point others to Jesus. And I think this is important. A lot of times people look at my life, right, and they're like, man, you're a Chiefs fan, right, from Kansas City. You can forgive me, right? Man, you're a Chiefs fan. You're a Royals fan. But do they know that I'm a follower of Jesus? Are you with me? Right, when they see my life, does it give evidence? This is God's design for all those who know him. In Ephesians 5, it says to all Christians, it says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. I think about this. Just as parents are to set the example for their kids, Jesus has set the example for us. You know, it's really interesting whenever we talked about this last week, but, you know, sometimes my kids will do something and I'm like, I didn't teach you that, but they learned it by following my example, right? We're to look at the life of Jesus and follow his example. This is what it means to be a Christian. It means to be a Christian means to be the party of Christ, to be a Christ follower, to follow in his example, to live the life that he lived and the life that he calls us to live. And when we do that, then we invite others in to learn from us and follow us, to be their example. And then we read a really challenging text. Paul says, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. He says, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The Bible tells us that suffering and persecution will come for those who follow Christ. Why? Because we live in a sinful world that hates Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 15, if the world hates you, talking to Christians, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love you as their own. However, because you're not of the world, right? We belong to Christ, but I've chosen you out of it. The world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will also persecute you. Church, because we live in a sinful and broken world, we live in a world that rejects Jesus, and so there will be persecution. But Paul is saying, it's worth it. Jesus is worth it. Other people's eternity are worth it. Because this life is not the end, church. Eternity is what we live for. Other people's eternity is why we share the gospel. When we are saved by Jesus, we are promised to be with him forever. Where there's no more sin, no more pain, no more heartache. I had a neighbor that became a pretty good friend of mine that went to be with the Lord this week. And just encouraging his wife. And she's just got a smile on her face, like she's half crying and half smiling. She's like, my husband is with Jesus where he belongs. You know why? Because someone told him about Jesus. He got saved. And you know what he spent the rest of, like the last, I think, 10 or 11 years of his life doing? Teaching fourth and fifth grade boys about Jesus in school, in Sunday school. But now he's with Jesus. So as Christ followers, have a godly example in your life. And then be that godly example that points others to Jesus. And then in verse 14, Paul tells us the next thing you need in your life as Christ follower is this. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. We're going to see that the Bible, church, is not just, it's not optional in our lives. It's vital for our lives. It's vital. So here's number three. To be strong and to be healthy in your walk with Jesus, you got to have a godly example. Be the godly example and then be in the word of God. Too often Christians think, well, you know what? I go to church or I listen to messages preached. I've got it on my podcast. I listen to Christian music. I got the fish on the back of my bumper, right? It says Christian on my Facebook page. I'm good. I don't really need to open up the word of God. I don't really need to open it up and read it. There was a study done in the United States last year, and this was done for those who confessed to be Christ followers. They were saved. And out of those who followed Jesus, the study showed that only 32% read their Bible every day. 40% said that they hardly ever read it, maybe a couple times a year, or they never read their Bible. 4 out of 10 Christians don't pick up their Bible every single year to read it. These are people, these aren't just people that say, these are people that say, hey, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Husbands, try that with your wife, right? Try to have a relationship with your wife where you don't ever listen to her. I promise you, it won't go well, right? We'll just open up marital counseling and just, we'll help you with that, right? Paul is saying that's not good. That's not good for you. It's not healthy. He says in verse 14, he says, but as for you, continue in what you learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you and you've known from infancy. Paul was, man, he was blessed in his life. He had a grandmother. He had a mom that was in the word of God and they taught him the word of God. And then he had Timothy or Paul that faithfully taught him God's word and lived it out. He said, you've known that from infancy. You've known the sacred scriptures which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul makes a statement at the beginning of this verse. He says, but as for you. Church, we need to understand something. This is a contrast statement. Here's what he's saying. No matter what others around you are doing, you're to do this. Christ followers, we are to live lives that are set apart, not for you, but for him. And so he says, because you're mine, here's what you need to do. He says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. He says in verse 15, you have known the sacred scripture. So what the text is telling Timothy and each and every Christ follower is this, continue to learn, trust, and believe in the word of God personally. Continue in it. Learn it, continue to learn it, continue to trust it, continue to believe in the word of God personally. Husbands and wives, it doesn't matter if your wife or your husband do it, you need to do it personally. Young people, be in the word of God. It shouldn't just be opened up on Sunday morning when someone else is teaching. Amen, church? Right, it's a personal relationship, and so we continue to learn, trust, and believe. Paul said to Timothy, you learned the scripture. You saw God's word to be true. You saw it in me. You saw it in mom. You saw it in grandma. They were in it. We've been in it and studying and growing and teaching it. He says, Tim, and then you personally, you learned from God's word. You trusted in it. You believed in it. You saw it to be true. And so continue in it. He says, keep at it. Keep reading. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep studying. Keep trusting. Keep letting it guide you and teach you. Church, I'm amazed every time that I open up a passage where I learn something new. And y'all, I got a Bible degree. Are you with me, church? You will always learn something. God is a whole lot smarter than any of us in here, right? He's always going to continue to teach us at the level we need to be taught. Keep at it. I think this is a great reminder for each of us. Often when we get saved, we're hungry, aren't we? We're hungry to learn. We're hungry to tell other people about Jesus. But too often, the longer that we're Christians, the less that we think we need Jesus and the less that we think that we need the Word of God. Are you with me, church? Right? Where did that hunger go? But let's be reminded that Paul himself, he tells us in Philippians that he has more learning to do. He has more growing to do. I think about godly examples in my life. I remember my grandpa Vanderford, even into his late years, still in the Word, still underlining, still writing notes because God was still teaching him. Grandpa died at 80 years old. God was still teaching him. Grandpa underlined things more than once because God kept teaching him. I remember my dad, as I was growing up, he made time to be in the Word. Went back to Kansas City last year, and I was standing out in the kitchen, and they got this window open there, and things were going on, and guess what my dad was doing? He was sitting on the couch, just said, man, I gotta read. He just read the Word of God. He's still in it. He's still growing. No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, this is for you. Continue to be in the Word. And if you're not currently spending time in the Word, guess what? Start. Are you with me? Like, just start. Read a Proverbs a day. Read a Psalm a day. Start in the book of John. Whatever it is, we can help you with that. We would love to help you know where to start and how to study. In 1 Peter 2:2, I love this passage. Peter writes this to the church. He says, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. If you've ever been around a newborn, they desire milk. And all God's people said, amen, right? They just, like, y'all help me out a little bit, like you guys don't know, right? They desire milk. They crave it. Their body knows they need it. What happens when a baby doesn't get milk, parents? Man, they scream and cry, don't they? They let us know, I want it, I crave it, I need it. What happens if a baby doesn't get that nourishment? They can't live. This is a deep, personal, convictional text right here. Peter is saying, just like a baby craves milk and knows that they need it to be healthy and to live, Christians crave and desire to hear from God because you need it. Church, Paul is saying to be healthy, to be strong, to grow as a Christ follower, have an example, be the example, and be in the Word. Then in verse 15 through 17, he goes on to tell us about the Word of God, right? If we're going to be in it, let's know about it. Why is it so important? He says in verse 15, you have known the sacred scripture, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The first thing that we need to know about scripture is this: it is Christ-centered. It's not you-centered. It's not me-centered. It's not America-centered. It's not Europe-centered. It's Christ-centered, church. Amen? Right? It's Christ-centered. As Christians, to be able to follow Christ, we're to know him and to know his life. And the whole Bible points us to Jesus. The whole Bible points us to Jesus. The first Bible that I walk through with my children is a storybook Bible. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. And you read it, and when you get to the end of it, it points you to, how does this point us to Jesus? In the Old Testament, what does it do? It points us to a Savior. Right? Who is going to come and rescue you. And then in the Gospels, we see that Savior come, and we see Jesus's life, and we see how he lived and that he died and to save us, and we see that he rose again. In the New Testament, we see how we're to live like Jesus. The Bible's Christ-centered. Number two, why else do we need to be in the Word of God? Why else is it important? Because it leads to salvation. I remember when I was little and I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I want to be a Christian. He goes, let's talk about what that means. He didn't open up a self-help book, church. He didn't give me his opinion. He opened up the Word of God and showed me how to be saved, church. Why do we need to be in the Word? Because it leads us to salvation. Paul, describing Scripture, says this: it's able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What we read in God's Word, it tells us and leads us how to be saved by Jesus. The whole Bible narrates for us how Jesus came to save us. The Bible tells us things like this, that we're all sinners. We're all separated from God. We were created to be with God, but your sin and my sin separated you and me from God. And there's nothing we can do about it. But then it tells us that because of the condition we're in, that we need a Savior. We need a rescuer. And in the Bible, we see that Jesus is God in the flesh who came to save you from your sins. We read that in the Bible. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the whole world, and that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, no longer be separated from God, but have everlasting life with Jesus. We see in Romans chapter 6 that God offers us the free gift of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus. Jesus tells us in John 14, he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He says this: no one comes to the Father except through me. We don't go to heaven by being religious. We don't go to heaven by having our good outweigh our bad. We go to heaven through Jesus, church. And then in Romans chapter 10, we see clearly how we're saved. Very clearly, church. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Church, all of Scripture points us to Jesus and leads us to salvation. The Bible tells us who Jesus is. It tells us how much he loves us and how he lived a sinless life. He died the death that you and I deserve, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again and rescued us, church. The Bible tells us to receive him to be saved, to go to heaven. We just have to call on the name of the Lord. So we need the Bible. We need the Bible because it's Christ-centered. It shows us how to be saved. And then we come to the one of the most famous passages about the Word of God. Look at verse 16. It says this: all Scripture is inspired by God. Why do we need to be in the Word, Christians? Because it's God-breathed. When it says that Scripture is inspired by God, the Greek phrase inspired by God, the literal translation for that is this: all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Holy Spirit worked through biblical writers to pen God's word entirely and exactly how he intended. He used their personality, he used their writing style, but the words that are on there were inspired and breathed out by God. Here's what that means, church. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. Come on, right? When Scripture speaks, God speaks. All of Scripture is God-breathed. Now, let's hear this real quick. Are you ready? This means that we don't get to pick and choose which parts we like. This means that we don't get to pick and choose which part to obey and follow and believe. It's all God-breathed. It's all true. Psalm 119:160 says, "The entirety of your word, God, is truth." It's all from the Lord, and so it's all good because God is good, and it's all binding. It's all true. Church, you can trust it. I listened to a conversation. Please don't miss this part. I listened to a conversation recently where a person asked another person. He said, "Why did you read that book? Why did you read that book?" Don't miss this. The response was, "Because I like the author." And that got me thinking. If we know and love the author, if we know and trust and believe in the author, if we know that the author is God Almighty, wouldn't you want to read his book? Wouldn't that alone, knowing that God, this is his love letter to you, that it's God-breathed, shouldn't that drive all of us to hear what he has to say? I guarantee you're listening to a politician every time they speak, or an athlete gets up there, or some influencer. Come on, church, right? If you know and love the author, wouldn't you want to hear what he has to say? And so we continue in the Word of God because it's Christ-centered. It leads us to salvation. It's God-breathed. And then, church, hear this. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. Look at what verse 16 says. All scriptures inspired by God. It's profitable. Good word for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good word. Paul is saying God's word is sufficient for your whole life. He says it's profitable. You know what that means? It will profit you when you use it. How does it profit you when it's collecting dust on the shelf? He says we're not only to read it and believe it, but we're to use it. We're to live it out. And it will be good for your lives. It is profitable for teaching. What we have in the Word of God is to be taught and learned so that God will use that to grow and mature us. If you want to say, man, I'm not learning, I'm not growing in my faith, are you in the Word? Because God promises if you are, you'll grow. It's profitable for rebuking, which means this, to identify and correct wrong behavior. It's profitable for correcting. That means to restore something or someone to their proper condition. In other words, the Bible leads us to live as we were created to live by God. Amen, church? Right? For training in righteousness. We're to use His word to train and to be trained. The Bible trains us to live righteously, to live right in the eyes of God. Verse 17, all scripture is to be used personally in our lives and in the church so that we can be complete, so that we can be equipped to whatever the Lord calls us to do. In other words, Christian, the Bible is sufficient for you in your life. Here's what else it means. You have no business adding to it or taking away from it. But you need to be in it. You need to trust it. You need to learn it. You need to apply it. And when we do that, it will lead us to live the life that God has called you to live. It will lead us to life change. It will lead you to a better life. All sorts of books, top sellers out there. How do I live my best life? Like, what do I need to do to have a better life? Be in the Word. Be in the Word. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be strong in your faith, if you want to grow in your walk with Jesus, you cannot do it outside of being in the Word of God. That leads us to our last main point. And for that, we're going to turn to chapter 4. Paul says this. He says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of His appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Paul's laying out an imperative. You know what an imperative is? It's a command. And that is to preach the word. The Greek word for preach means to preach. It means to herald and it means to proclaim. So church, be in the word and proclaim the word. Right? Be in the word and proclaim the word. This was written to Timothy mainly as a pastor, but also to all Christ followers. So let's look at this from a pastor standpoint for a second. Paul is saying to Pastor Tim, there's a lot going on in your world right now. Preach the word of God. Let me be super clear. My job as your pastor is not to preach my opinion. It's not my job to preach what is politically correct. It is my job to preach the word of God faithfully. It's to preach what God says and to preach all of it, even the hard stuff. Last week, we kind of had to take some breathers. Like, whoa, that kind of hurt a little bit. Like, I got that in my life. But that's one of the reasons we walk through all the books of the Bible, verse by verse. It's to see what God's word says and how do we apply it in our lives. But this isn't just for preachers. The Bible tells us that if we are Christians, you're to proclaim the word. We looked at this a few weeks ago. For all time, God's people have been teachers. You may not have the gifting of teaching, but we're all called to teach. We're all called to proclaim. Deuteronomy 6 says that we're to speak of God's word wherever we are and wherever we go. And as Paul gives this command, he says, I'm charging you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. So in the presence of God the Father and God the Son, the ultimate judge, preach and proclaim the word of God. Here's what that means, church. My preaching, our proclaiming is not to please those we are speaking to. Now, obviously, we want to preach in a way and teach in a way and proclaim in a way that it could be understood and related to. Amen, church? But we preach to please the Lord. He's the one that we want, that we're going to stand up in front of one day. Church, I love y'all. Are you with me? But he's ultimately the one that I'm going to stand up in front of one day and say, did you preach the word? So this is an encouragement to all preachers and all Christians as we proclaim. God is the one calling us to proclaim his word. He's the one who we're living for. He's the one we live our life. And so we proclaim his word faithfully, church. We do it faithfully. We're to be in his word, learn his word, trust in his word, and proclaim it faithfully. So we do it faithfully, and then we proclaim it consistently. And I think Paul knew, right, God knew that when we would be reading this today, we would be this would be challenging for us. He says in verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. In other words, preach it, proclaim it, and teach God's word faithfully, whether it's convenient or not. Whether it's politically correct or not. Whether it's popular or not. Whether you have 2 people or 5,000 people. Continually, consistently. Church culture continues to change, but God's word never ceases to be true. It never ceases to need to be heard, and it never ceases to change lives. And so to pastors, Paul says, faithfully preach the whole word of God. Preach it whether it's in season or out of season. And then again, preach it so that it can be used to correct, rebuke, and encourage, and be patient as you teach it and preach it, but do it consistently. For all of us as Christ followers, church, at times it's going to be difficult or unpopular to proclaim the word of God. I would dare say we're in a day where it is unpopular to proclaim the truth of God's word. But God's word says, Christian, do it consistently and faithfully. Paul goes on, he says this, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply or gather teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They're going to turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths. Church, as we close here, I'm going to get a little serious today. In our world today, our feelings seem to be more important than truth. If we don't like the truth, if it doesn't make us feel good, we ignore it or reject it. We live in a day where people reject truth so that they can live however they want. They redefine it. And Paul says there will be a day when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and the truth of God's word. Church, we're living in that day. And sadly, we see this in too many churches where the word of God is set aside because it's not politically correct or popular. But by the grace of God, Authentic Life Church, we will remain faithful to the preaching and teaching of God's word. Church, we often forget that what is accepted in our world today will change tomorrow. But the word of God will always remain true. And so at Authentic Life Church, in our lives, we're to be in the word, we're to proclaim the word, and we're to do so truthfully and courageously. It takes courage to be faithful to the word of God, church. It takes courage to preach it and to share it and to teach it and to live it out. But our aim is not to please the world around us, but to live a life that is pleasing to the one who made us and saved us. Our aim is to take Jesus and his word to a world that so desperately needs it. So in closing, to be strong in your walk with the Lord, have a healthy walk with God. You got to have a godly example in your life. Don't worry about them. They're just next preachers coming up after I'm done. Have a godly example in your life. Be the godly example. And then continue in the word. Continue to grow and learn and to hear from God. And then because the world so desperately needs him, proclaim and teach and share the word, the truth of God's word. Let's pray.